live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, three people have been rescued after their boat broke down off St John's Point in Donegal last night. The conducting of an inquest into the death of Buncrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Donegal will allow for a death certificate to be issued. Two Donegal men have been seriously injured while working on a construction site in Australia, and a man has been hospitalised following an arson attack at a property in Omagh. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening. The Health Minister says it's important to wait for the final report into children's hip surgeries before deciding on next steps. Some 2,200 families have been written to, advising them to attend for follow-on checks in relation to procedures dating back to 2010. The Taoiseach yesterday said he hopes to receive the final audit by the end of next week. Health Minister Jennifer Carroll-McNeill says she can't respond until she has the final report. In the Dáil earlier, Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty told the story of one family who recently received a letter about their daughter from Children's Health Ireland.
She sent 30 emails over a period of 5 weeks to CHI without one response. Only when she got her solicitor involved did she get a response. She sought a second medical opinion. She is now sure, Minister, that the first hip operation at best was premature and the second operation wasn't needed at all.
Three people have been rescued after their boat broke down off St John's Point in Donegal last night. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
Bundoran RNLI were tasked at 10:08 in the evening to a vessel experiencing engine failure approximately 5 miles east of St John's Point. The lifeboat launched swiftly into a 0.5-metre swell within 10 minutes. Upon arrival, three people were found on board, all of whom were wearing flotation devices and were safe. After assessing the situation and given that the boat could not make any safe onward progress, the lifeboat crew safely established a tow line and brought the vessel back to Creevy Pier. Bundoran RNLI Helm Brian Gillespie praised the swift response of the volunteer crew. He has advised people to always ensure their vessels in good working order and to carry a means of calling for help when going out on the water.
Elsewhere, Armour Lifeboat has been involved in two medical operations over the past 24 hours. This morning, pagers went off at around 5:15 to assist with a medical evacuation from the island. The casualty was transferred to a waiting ambulance in Burton Port for assessment at Letterkenny University Hospital. Meanwhile, at 6:30 last evening, the lifeboat crew were asked to bring the NIDOC doctor on call to Armour to attend a patient. The Office of Public Works never communicated the estimated cost of the Leinster House bike shed to the Houses of the Oireachtas. An audit of the management of commissioning projects valued at less than €500,000 has been published this afternoon. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
The Deloitte audit of the bike shed situation made a number of key findings, the main one being that no value for money assessment was carried out to see whether there were lower cost alternatives. It also found the OPW didn't communicate an estimated cost of works to the Houses of the Oireachtas prior to undertaking the project, and it points out issues with the OPW's management plan for capital projects worth less than €500,000, saying it doesn't state how such projects should be overseen. Rather remarkably, though, the audit finds the bike shed, which cost €336,000, actually came in under the estimated budget. Estimated costs in April 2023 were actually €350,000, a figure which was never communicated to the Oireachtas.
The conducting of an inquest into the death of Buncrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Donegal will allow for a death certificate to be issued. 31-year-old Fakat Bhagat was earlier this year found guilty of the rape and murder of the 28-year-old in Goa, India, 8 years ago. The family solicitor, Des Doherty, says confirmation that an inquest will be carried out is significant for the family.
Danielle's mum does not have a death certificate for her daughter. And in technical terms, the only way that the death certificate, a proper death certificate, can be got is via the inquest procedure, so that the cause of death is properly recorded. It's imperative that that is properly recorded on a death certificate for the family.
Two Donegal men have been seriously injured in Australia. John Wallace and Keelan Ward, both from Dunloe, were working on a construction site in Perth when a steel beam hit the machinery they were working on. Both are said to be recovering well, but have a long road ahead. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help financially support the men and their families. John's brother Carl spoke earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
It was just a simple accident, really. A steel beam had just collapsed, kind of knocked the two boys off two mobile scissor lifts, and just literally, as a simple equation can say, they just simply threw them like two rag dolls out of the scissor lift, and they landed on the concrete. But they're very lucky boys, and unlucky in ways if you unlock it.
Every day the A5 is delayed as a day where lives are needlessly risked. That's according to Westron MLA Nicola Brogan, who told the Northern Ireland Assembly that while the £1.5 billion investment will be significant for the region, which has suffered years of underinvestment, she says it will ultimately save lives. She paid tribute to the families of those who have lost their lives on the road and the ongoing efforts of campaigners. Ms Brogan says there must be an end to the delays in the works once and for all.
The A5 will open up the North West for more investment, increased trade, faster commuting, more tourism, promote job creation and regional balance, and improve access to ports, airports and regional gateways. The A5 represents a £1.6 billion investment in a part of the country that has suffered from historic underinvestment and lack of critical infrastructure. But most of all, the new A5 will save lives. More than 50 people have lost their lives on the existing road in the last 20 years, and it simply is not fit for purpose. I have stood alongside families who have lost loved ones along the A5, and have stood alongside the members of the A5 Enough is Enough group, and I've heard the heartbreaking stories of how this road has destroyed lives and devastated families. I'd like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to those families for the incredible dignity, strength and patience that they have displayed during this long process. It truly is a testament to their sense of community and humanity that, having endured the most tragic losses, they have dedicated themselves to ensuring nobody else has to. And every day that this project is delayed is another day where lives are needlessly risked on that road. Lascancorda, as with any major infrastructure project, it is only right and proper that local people be consulted and their concerns listened to. The A5 was first announced back in 2007, almost 20 years ago. In that time, every legitimate concern has been heard and every effort made to address them. But the Western Transport Corridor is too important to the North West, too important to the nation as a whole, and too important to the grieving relatives of the dozens upon dozens of lives that have been tragically lost to be delayed any longer. It's lore galore. Enough is enough.
A man has been hospitalised following an arson attack on a property in Omagh. Police were notified of the blaze at the property in the Riverview Park area at around 2:30 this morning. The man's injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. Police are appealing to anyone with information or relevant footage to contact them. The waiting list for an appointment with the Neuro Rehabilitation Community Team in Donegal is over 4 months. The team based in Ballybofey currently only serves Donegal. However, concern has been raised that the lack of support across the northwest is having a negative impact on patients' health. In 2019, the government committed to fully fund a community neuro rehabilitation team for the entire region. Board member of Neurological Alliance of Ireland and patient advocate Eamon McPartlin says it's vital that promise is fulfilled.
So the immediate need is to fulfil the commitment that was given back in 2019 to fully staff a community neurorehabilitation team in Ballybofey that will serve the entire of the Northwest. And that would mean that you would have a multidisciplinary team, which would include neurophysiotherapists, occupational therapists, a psychologist, speech and language therapist and a rehab consultant. That would mean that those living in the Northwest would be able to get access to neurorehabilitation locally.
The Glenties Municipal District has been briefed on how better to design road crossings in line with the needs of those who are visually impaired. Liam O'Leary, an instructor with Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind, has spent the past number of weeks in Dunloe training guide dog Rain, who has been allocated to a local woman in the town. He addressed the meeting at the invitation of Councillor Brian Carr. Speaking to Highland Radio News after the meeting, Mr O'Leary says more attention needs to be focused on the needs of those who are visually impaired.
We're all in the same boat. We're just looking for safe crossing points around the area and maybe educating people as to what the safe places are to cross. I've no problem doing that. I have a lot of experience of dealing with crossing points around the country, and I suppose just trying to find a happy medium between the two of us as to how quick we can get this done and where we can put them.
A further consultation is taking place in Donegal on the urban speed limit review. Donegal County Council has undertaken a speed limit review of all public roads in towns, villages and settlements with an existing speed limit of 60 km per hour or lower. These speed limits have been assessed in accordance with the Department of Transport guidelines and proposed changes recommended. A two-week non-statutory consultation period is running until May the 22nd across the county. Proposals which include the introduction of several 30 km per hour urban zones will be presented at the events. Submissions on the proposals can be sent to speedlimitreview@donegalcoco.ie. And for now, Highland Radio will have a new CEO from Monday week, May the 26th. Sean Quinn, who has been the station's sales and marketing manager since 2019, replaces Fionnuala Rabbitt, who will remain with the station as financial controller. His appointment comes as new JNLR figures show Highland Radio's position as the Northwest's most listened to radio station remains secure, with a weekly listenership rate of 78% and market share of 62%. Sean Quinn says after a difficult period at the start of the decade, Highland Radio is in a very good position, and he says he wants to grow the station even more.
I've been with Highland almost 6 years, and from a commercial point of view, I've worked on that side of the business. We're in a good shape. You know, Highland's in a good place. And what I want to do is I want to continue in that vein and acknowledge that the great work that Fionnuala has done over the last 11 years with Highland. You know, we've gone through tough times, we've had COVID, but we've come through and we're stronger for it. So I want to build on the success that we've had to date, and I look forward to working with all the staff. There's a great rapport within the business, and I think we've changed what we do. You hear Highland, but you also see Highland, and I think that's an important part of what we'll do going forward.
Those sort of changes you referenced, you and your team have been at the core of getting those changes implemented. Now, as you say, you arrived 2019, no one could have even in their wildest dreamed foreseen what was going to happen just a few months after you arrived. But when COVID came, as well as challenges, it presented opportunities, and fair to say you grabbed them.
Yeah, and it was like I was a jinx, because I was only in about 5 months into the business, and we kind of started to move things nicely, and all of a sudden it was locked down and closed down. So, but yeah, what we did there is we took the time and looked at where are our opportunities, where does a company, where do we need to go? And yeah, you're right, we did grab it. And we brought the right personnel in to do it, to deliver it. And I think we're a better business for it. It was tough at the time, but yes, it gave us an opportunity to review the business, move the business and grow it into where we are today. And the next challenge is to get to the next level from where we are today. And that's the exciting part for me. That's the part I look forward to. As a team, we'll deliver that, and we'll make Highland even bigger and better than it is today.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. Croke Park have confirmed the match details for the second round of the All-Ireland group stages. Donegal's away game to Cavan will be played on Sunday the 1st of June with a 2 o'clock throw-in at Kingspan Breffni Park. On the same day, at the same time, Derry will host Galway at Celtic Park. On Saturday the 31st of May, Tyrone's home game will be against Mayo in Omagh. That game will throw in at 7 o'clock at Healy Park. Jim McGuinness's Donegal start the series on Saturday the 24th of May in Balbuffet against Tyrone, while Derry are away to Armagh. If you missed any of those dates, they are available over on our website at highlandradio.com. Moving on to golf, the early groups are out on day one of the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are one over par, 6 shots off the lead. Ryan Fox of New Zealand and Sweden's Alex Noren are out in front on 5 under. Rory McIlroy has dropped to 2 over par along with Padraig Harrington, and Tom McKibben is part of the evening wave. He's due on the tee shortly after 7:30. In soccer, Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou has confirmed Dejan Kulusevski will miss next week's Europa League final against Manchester United and will be out for a few months. The Swedish winger has had knee surgery and joins fellow attackers James Maddison and Lucas Bergvall on the sidelines. Postecoglou says it's reflective of their problems this season.
Just haven't had a smooth run at things. Every time we look like we're kind of getting to a place where we're looking in decent shape squad-wise or even sort of personnel-wise, invariably we've been hit. And obviously the last few weeks, just circumstance that it's happened probably in the one area of the park.
Chelsea have no recognised strikers available for tomorrow's Premier League clash with Manchester United. Nicholas Jackson is suspended after he was sent off against Newcastle for catching Sven Botman with an elbow. Maresca says he's had to have words with Jackson.
No, yeah, I think Nico is intelligent enough to recognise that has been an error, has been a mistake, and it's all about this.
Three of Liverpool's title-winning squad have been nominated for the Premier League Player of the Season Award. Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk and Ryan Gravenberch are all on the shortlist. Nottingham Forest, Morgan Gibbs-White and Chris Wood are nominated, as are Arsenal's Declan Rice and Brentford's Brian Mbeumo. Newcastle striker Alexander Isak rounds off the eight players up for the award. Well, some big games took place on the school's football front this afternoon. Coláiste Aille defeated Coláiste Glóir-na-Mara of Balbriggan to progress to the FAI first year under 14B Boys National Cup final for small schools. The game finished 1-1 after extra time, and it was the Letterkenny school who progressed to the national decider by winning 6-5 on penalties. There was no such luck for Scullwarra Buncrana in the first year Boys National Cup semi-final for large schools. The Inishowen youngsters lost 5-2 to Scoldara of Kilcock this afternoon. In rugby, Munster interim coach Ian Costello has named an unchanged side for Friday's must-win URC meeting with Benetton. Peter O'Mahony and Stephen Archer are both set to make their final appearances in their native Cork, while it could also be a final Munster game for Conor Murray if they fail to win and miss out on the playoffs. In tennis, Australian player Nick Kyrgios will return to the French Open for the first time in 8 years. He'll play with his fellow countryman Jordan Thompson in the men's doubles competition at Roland Garros. Kyrgios was offered the opportunity after Thompson's regular partner Max Purcell was handed an 18-month doping ban. Finally, on the score this week, we'll talk League of Ireland football with independent soccer writer Aidan Fitzmaurice, while Nigel Ferry of the Donegal Junior League and Jeremy O'Brien of the Inishowen League discuss the big games of the weekend and the ongoing calendar year alignment by the FAI. That's all coming up between 7 and 8 this evening. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, staying dry, warm and sunny today with highest temperatures of 19 to 21 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Three people have been rescued after their boat broke down off St John's Point in Donegal last night. Bundoran Ornalai were tasked to the scene shortly after 10 o'clock following reports of a vessel experiencing engine failure. The conducting of an inquest into the death of Buncrana woman Danielle McLaughlin in Donegal will allow for a death certificate to be issued. 31-year-old Fakat Bhagat was earlier this year found guilty of the rape and murder of the 28-year-old in Goa, India, 8 years ago. Two Donegal men have been seriously injured in Australia. John Wallace and Keelan Ward, both from Dunloe, were working on a construction site in Perth when a steel beam hit the machinery they were working on. And a man has been hospitalised following an arson attack on a property in Omagh. Police were notified of the blaze at the property in the Riverwalk Park area at around 2:30 this morning. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. Good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Following a joint sheep meeting in County Louth between the Irish Farmers Association and the Ulster Farmers Union, both organisations are now calling for immediate and coordinated all-island measures to address the growing crisis of uncontrolled dogs across the country. The current fragmented approach to dog ownership regulation is failing farmers, according to the organisations, particularly in border areas where enforcement is vulnerable. There's been numerous incidents where sheep have been mauled or killed by roaming dogs, and there is no system in place to hold anyone accountable. Dogs from either side of the border cannot be identified or tracked, as there is no current joined up all island system to trace these dogs. So it'll be interesting to see just what happens in the months and weeks ahead. Chagas is organising a number of organic courses, both online and in its Manor Hamilton office, with the first of them starting next Tuesday. That's May the 20th. This will be of particular interest to Donegal farmers who have recently joined the organic farming scheme. Well, it's been great weather for Northern Ireland's biggest show, the Balmoral Show, which is on this week and continues until Saturday. It always attracts quite a number from Donegal, and indeed Donegal tourism was also represented there this year. So the show season is about to kick into full swing with many, many shows to look forward to here in Donegal, ranging from Glencolum Kill to Ardra, Mina Cross, Ballyshannon and the Finn Valley Show to name but a few in the months ahead. The biggest one in Donegal, though, is the Clonmany Agricultural Show. It's a two-day event and it'll take place on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 5th and 6th of August. The official launch of details took place recently, and to tell me more, I've been speaking with the PRO, Blaine McCarron. Blaine, the 5th and 6th of August, the dates, a two-day event, and this is, what now, the 56th year?
Absolutely, Chris, yeah. We're back for our 56th annual Clonmany Agricultural Show. Plans are well and truly underway. As you know, very exciting. We just had our launch night there on Friday night.
So tell us, what are some of the highlights that we can look forward to this time around?
Well, as you know, Chris, every year we try and do something different, something that we've never done before at Clonmany Agricultural Show. So this year is no different. We're delighted to bring new features along this year, such as our vintage show. It's the first year that we've got a vintage show. It's taking place on the Wednesday. And it's open to vintage tractors, vintage cars, vintage engines. And we're delighted to offer free entry to the driver of the vintage vehicle. So we're looking forward to seeing how that pans out in the field on the Wednesday. And it's something a little different. Also on the cards this year, we're delighted to announce that we've got our Young Baker of the Year competition. So we're very aware that we've got a massive amount of young talent all over in the show and indeed further afield. And we want to give them an opportunity to exploit that talent and put it on stage. So if you keep an eye on our socials, we'll have some exciting information. But Young Baker of the Year is coming there for the young, talented bakers out there to demonstrate their skills and what they've got on offer. So that's just a flavour of what's new, Chris, amongst many, many other things at the show. But those are some of our key points for this year.
It is, of course, Donegal's premier agricultural show, and in the early days was very much agricultural-based, but over the years it has really extended its appeal really to everybody.
Absolutely, Chris, yeah. The modern-day show has to have something for everybody. And what we try and do in Clonmany, have value for money for every person that walks through that gate. We like to think that there's something for everybody in the field, be it kids, be it women, be it gentlemen, anything. We've got fashion shows, we've got dog shows, we've got the live music, our bands on stage, our Taste of Inish Own Food Festival, absolutely heaving with local produce, and of course, as you say, the traditional livestock shows, never forgotten. We've got our sheep exhibitions, our cattle exhibitions, and this year we're delighted to be proud hosts of the All-Ireland Sheep Shearing and the World Wool Handling Championships as well. So going to be some serious excitement over at that end of the field with the shearing to host that All-Ireland there. It's going to bring shearers from all over Ireland and indeed all over the world to Clonmany to look at what's taking place down that end of the field. Yeah.
And credit to all involved. You've a lot of repeat business insofar as of people coming back year after year to take part.
We do indeed, yeah. There's a great trend there starting that all roads lead to Clonmany for the Clonmany Agricultural Show. There's people there that's making it part of their yearly calendar that they're penciling in that Tuesday and Wednesday to be in Clonmany to experience and sample the atmosphere. And we're delighted that the show's in a position where it's starting to sell itself. People are talking about it, and it's fantastic to see. And we owe that to our sponsors and to our landowners and to our volunteers and to everybody that puts their shoulder to the wheel to make the show what it is. We've got a great blend of people there working hard to make it what it is, and it's really starting to pay off, you know.
In recent years, fashion has become very much part of the show as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Our fashion marquee there, we'll have our catwalk, we've got hair and makeup demonstrations. This year we're delighted to welcome a new exhibitor, Verve, there from Donegal Town. Mary is coming on board and we're really looking forward to seeing what she can do in the fashion marquee this year. It should be fantastic.
And one of the really big attractions of the event is the fact that it is so family orientated.
Completely family orientated, yeah. Kids under 12 are free. A discount for teenagers, free parking, and a great day out for all the family. And not to mention then, to round up the show at the end of the Wednesday, the winners of our grand prize draw are drawn live on stage there where somebody's leaving with a brand new tractor or a brand new Jeep. This year we've introduced a quad also for second prize, just to expand it a little bit. So a sellout draw every year, and tickets available online there at KilmainyShow.com for that. They're also available from any committee member, or they're also in various local retail outlets as well.
Now, it takes a lot of work behind the scenes, and we're still a couple of months away from it, but you have to get the word out there. Tell us a little bit also just about the venue itself and just why it's so suitable.
Absolutely. The venue, Paul and Green there, we're blessed with fantastic showgrounds. They can hold up to any weather. As you can imagine, we'll have weeks in preparation beforehand, lorries coming in, getting set up. Those showgrounds are spectacular. They're dry underfoot. They'll hold up to anything. So we're blessed with great landowners there that kindly give us the land every year to run the show. It makes it a little bit easier. It's one thing we don't have to worry about that other shows might have to worry about, is that the conditions underfoot, you know.
And the fact that it's held in August, right smack in the middle of the tourist season, no doubt every year there are maybe tourists, they could be Americans, Continentals, Europeans, and they may just stumble across the festival, may not know anything about it in advance, and suddenly they land down, they see the signs, Clonmany Agricultural Show, and many of them blown away by what they experience.
Absolutely, yeah, and one complements the other too. Of course, it's taking place right in the middle of Clonmany Festival. So you've got your 8 open-air concerts taking place 8 nights there down at Clonmany. So you might find people travelling to the show that get entertained by Clonmany Festival in the evenings, and vice versa, you might find people coming for Clonmany Festival and they find a brilliant 2-day show to look forward to entertain them during the day. So it's great there. It's a real holiday week in Clonmany, you know. The whole village is put on pause, and they just enjoy the festival and enjoy the show.
So finally, Blaine, if people want to get some advance notice and find out more details, give us the website details.
Yeah, so our website's www.clonmanyshow.com. All our entries will be available online there nearer the time. And for the latest updates on what's happening and what's taking place at the show, keep an eye on our socials there, our Facebook page, Clonmany Show, and our Instagram page as well.
And that was Blaine McCarron, PRO of the Clonmany Agricultural Show. In other news, the Hills of Donegal Sheepdog Trials are taking place this year from Tuesday the 22nd of July to Friday the 25th. It's a 4-day event this year. Entries are now open, and you can contact Tommy Long for more details on that. Finally, a reminder that In a Show on Farmer and Farming for Nature, Ambassador Boyd Bryce will have a farm walk on his farm down on Inch Island. It takes place this Sunday. You can find more details on the Farming for Nature website. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's Farming Show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of May. The death has taken place of Marion Muldowney, 52, McNeely Villas, Old Town, Letterkenny. Marion's remains will repose at her late residence from 4 o'clock tomorrow evening. A service to celebrate Marion's life will take place at Eternal Life Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, followed by a private cremation. The wake and service are private to immediate family only, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Dan McTaig, Gort Namona, Glencar Road, Letterkenny, reposing at his late residence until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, concluding with rosary both nights. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass will take place on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny. It can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Emmanuel Famalola, Sailors Rest, Shorefront, Buncrana. Emmanuel's remains will repose in St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, tomorrow evening from 5pm to 10pm. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Dimpna Quinn, 1 Lansdowne Park, Strabane. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Lally Eileen Donaghy, Carrick Lee, Greencastle Road, Moville. Lally's remains are reposing at her home. The wake is private, please, to family and close friends. A private cremation for Lally will take place at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at a later date. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.